Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Hello once again and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. I'm Gary Zimak. You and me, we're going to be together for the next 30 minutes as we look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent. The fourth and, yes, final Sunday of Advent. Here we go. We are getting ready to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. And I think that's the point that I've been trying to make over the past few weeks. We don't want to get stuck in the past. We certainly want to recognize that he was born 2,000 years ago. That's a historical fact. That is the absolute truth. He was born then, and yeah, he's going to come again in glory. When? We don't know, but we know that he will come again in glory one day. They are the two comings that we traditionally think of when it comes to getting prepared to welcome Jesus. But the one that we forget about, and the one that I've tried to emphasize, and I think the one that we want to focus on today, is him coming more fully into our lives today. That's what we want to focus on, because let's face it, we've all got issues, we've all got problems, we've all got struggles in life. Right? Can I get an amen? Of course we do. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. And the Lord wants to get involved. He wants to get personally involved in each of our lives. We're going to hear that mentioned in the readings today. And I really want to drill that point home. We need to believe that. This is real. This is not some pie-in-the-sky theory that sometimes we leave at church. Yes, Jesus is the Savior. He did some really good things. He died on the cross, blah, blah, blah. And then we go home and we panic and we become depressed. We become hopeless. We forget that Jesus is real. I'm telling you, he is real and he wants to help you. He wants to be involved with your lives, with all of our lives. You're going to hear the name Emmanuel today. That means God with us. Your Heavenly Father wanted to be so intimately involved in your life that he sent his Son into the world, Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate during Christmas. So this is a really, really cool thing. We're going to look at these readings as we prepare to welcome Jesus. And I want to say before I start, if you feel that this hasn't been a good Advent for you, I want you to chill. You've tried your best. Maybe you didn't. But now's the time you start trying your best. I don't care if you've got a few days left. It's never too late to start preparing to welcome Jesus. It starts with desire. We've been talking about this over the past few shows. Do you want to get to know Jesus better? Do you want him to get more involved in your life? Do you want to let go of worry? Do you want to let go of control? Do you want to ask him to help you? But maybe you're stopping short because you're afraid. Well, having the desire to have the desire, St. Ignatius tells us, is good. It's a start, and the Lord can work with that. So even if you are at the point where you're saying, I probably should want to get him more involved in my life. I probably should want to get to know Jesus more. But honestly, I'm just not caring that much. Well, then pray for the desire to have the desire. I'm serious about that. Pope Francis has talked about this in the past too. We can pray for the desire to have the desire, right? That's a lot of desires. Old Gary gets confused when he says that. But sometimes we get caught up in saying that I should want to be holy. I don't even have the desire to be holy. Well, you can pray for the desire to be holy. You know, and that's a start. Look, this is a process. Our spiritual journey is a process. You don't get holy overnight. I have been working at this for a long time, and man, I've got a long way to go. But I'm just going to try my best each day, and I ask you to do the same. And as always, if you have questions, shoot me an email, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me pray for you. Let's start a dialogue. I really want to help you out in any way that I can. All right, so let's get started by praying to our Heavenly Father now, and then we'll dig right into the readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, here we are again. First of all, Father, thank you. Thank you for giving me a voice to be able to speak on this program. I couldn't do any of this without you. I want to let you know how grateful I am. Also, Father, thank you for the listeners to this program. Thank you for the stations who carry this show. Father, thank you for the gift of this new day. Obviously, I am here now. I am able to speak. Anyone listening to the program is able to listen. So we are all alive at the moment. Lord, that would not happen if you didn't sign off on it. So we're grateful for that this opportunity to come together, preparing to welcome your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have, the confident hope, not the wishful thinking with our fingers crossed that Jesus will come and get more involved in our lives. No, but for the confident hope that we know with certainty that he will go where he is invited. So if we invite him into our hearts, we know he is going to come. That is Christian hope. And Father, we thank you for that gift of hope. Father, we lift up our problems to you on this day. We ask you to fill us with your peace, fill us with a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And we know that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit's presence is peace. So we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask you for that peace to fill our hearts as we look at your word. We break open the Bible, look at your word for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Help us to be able to prepare more fully for Jesus. Help us know the areas that have to be cleaned up so that we can make room for your Son, Jesus. Father, use me today on the program. Give me the words, as always. I'm going to yield to you and let you speak through me, through the power of your Spirit. And I ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. You ready to get started? Okay, let's do it. Before we do, I'm Gary Zimek. This is the Gary Zimek Show. We come to you once a week on many Catholic stations across the country and through many podcasting outlets. I'm grateful that you're a listener to this program. Please continue to help me to spread the good news by sharing this show with others. Let them know about the program. Also, please, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can find out about my books, about how to bring me to your parish or your conference so I can give a talk there. I would love to do that. And if you would be so inclined to maybe want to give a donation to keep my full-time ministry going, you could do that also at followingthetruth.com. You could do that securely through PayPal. And if the program helps you, I would really encourage you to do that. It's never easy for me to ask for money. I absolutely hate it. But I know that the only way that I can continue to do the Lord's work on a full-time basis is through your support. So followingthetruth.com, if you could make a one-time donation, or to be honest, I could really use some new monthly sponsors. And you could do that for as little as $10 per month, 33 cents a day. That would be so helpful to be able to continue my ministry. So if you would go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, you can make that happen there and allow me to share the good news with an even larger audience. So I thank you for that. I really do. I want you to know you're in my prayers, and I appreciate all of your prayers as well. It really means a lot to me. Okay, let's take a look at these readings again. This is the final Sunday of Advent, the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. And it's interesting, I was reading somewhere, I've been reading a lot of meditations for the Advent season, and one of the really neat ones that I read talked about the fact that after this fourth week of Advent, fourth Sunday of Advent, the week is interrupted. The week is always interrupted. You know, this week, Christmas is, on a Wednesday, right? Wednesday, 22nd, 23rd, 23rd, yeah, it's sort of Wednesday. I had to calculate that in my head. But, you know, the fourth week of Advent is almost never a complete week because it's interrupted by the birth of the Lord. And that's the cool thing. It's a good interruption. And in the same way that he interrupts the fourth week of Advent, a different time each year, he could do that in your life. You could be going through a crisis right now, and you never know. There's one of my favorite devotions for the Advent season is the St. Andrew Novena, and I'm sure you might have heard of that. It's very popular. You begin it on St. Andrew's feast day on November 30th, and one of the messages in the prayer, the Novena prayer that is said, is that Jesus comes at midnight in Bethlehem, and we recognize the hour and the moment where Jesus is born. And you know, if you think about it, I like the idea of midnight because it's a dark time. Traditionally, the darkest time of the night is midnight. That might be where you're at right now. You've got a hopeless problem in front of you. Everything is dark. It is absolute pitch black. It's midnight in your life. And in one instant, in one moment, Jesus can come and make the difference that you've been waiting for, because that's how he came 2,000 years ago. All of a sudden, one minute he's not here, the next minute he's here. Isn't that a cool thought? So hang in there, keep praying for what you need. The Lord's going to hear and answer your prayers. He'll give you what you need when the time is right. In the meantime, he absolutely will give you the grace to come through. We're going to continue moving forward. We're going to focus today on one of the prophecy that was given to Isaiah the prophet, talking about the virgin shall bear a child. Well, this prophecy was one of the many, many promises that the Lord made that were fulfilled. Why? Because the Lord's good for his word. And if he says he'll be with you always until the end of time, he's not going to become a liar all of a sudden. So here's what I want you to know. Your luck, things may not be going your way right now. You may be down on your luck. You may be really struggling. You may be struggling to hang on, to believe. Hang in there. Because if the Lord said he will be with you, he will. If Jesus Christ told us, ask and you shall receive, you will receive. You'll receive what you need when you need it. Not always what you want, but you'll get what you need. I believe that with all my heart, and I want you to believe that as well. Because consistently we see these Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the person of Jesus. In other words, if God says something is going to happen, it will happen. He said he'll be with you, he will be with you. He said he will give you the grace that you need, he will give you the grace that you need. Okay, just please remember that. And as we look at these readings, keep that in mind. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel for the fourth Sunday of Advent. It comes from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary into your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. This is an absolutely amazing story. And sometimes we don't give Joseph the credit that he deserves. I mean, this guy was asked to do something pretty monumental, and he trusted in the Lord. Some things to understand that, first of all, that there are three steps that took place in a Jewish marriage. The first, the two families agreed to the union. So that's the first step. So the family of Mary, the family of Joseph agreed to this union of Mary and Joseph. The second step is a public announcement is made. So at this point, they are betrothed, or sometimes we say engaged, but it's a lot more formal than the engagement process that we're used to. In order to dissolve this union, there had to be a formal declaration of divorce. So there had to be a formal declaration to break the engagement or the betrothal. This is the point that Mary and Joseph are at. And the third step is they get married and begin to live together. So they are betrothed at this point, but not yet living together. And all of a sudden, Joseph gets the news that Mary is pregnant. Now, according to the Jewish civil law, Joseph absolutely had the right to divorce Mary. And she could have also, because of her supposed unfaithfulness, and we know that wasn't the case, she became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, an unbelievable mystery, but she could have been stoned to death. So Joseph, being a righteous man, and a lot of times I've had a problem with this, I didn't really understand it until I explored this a little bit more and heard what the theologians said about this. Joseph, he's a righteous man, yet he wants to divorce her. Well, he was doing what he was acting in this way to protect Mary, and he was absolutely justified in doing this. But here's what happened. Joseph has his plan. I think a lot of times we have our plans, we know the way that things will work, and then the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Well, you know one thing, if the angel is saying do not be afraid, Joseph is afraid. And that's okay. You know, I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety, and I always make the point, it's okay to be afraid. Here we have a saint, Saint Joseph, a very holy man. Saint Joseph being obviously afraid and being told by the angel, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Explaining to Joseph, the angel goes on to explain that this has happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, very, very hard to accept, but what does Joseph do? Joseph accepts what the angel of the Lord said and took Mary as his wife. Now, a lot of details are left out of the biblical narrative. We don't know what happened. We don't know how tough this was, but you can only imagine how difficult this may have been for Joseph and Mary to explain this to their families. You know, it's easy for us. We look back with 2,000 years of hindsight, and it's in the Bible. Oh, sure, the virgin gave birth, but let me tell you, if it happened to you or me, this wouldn't be an easy one to explain. But this is the faith of Saint Joseph. And, you know, I think a lot of times we are asked to follow the Lord, to step out in faith, to trust that what we're going through, the situation we're being placed in, is all coming about due to God's will. He lets us get into some pretty tight spots sometimes because he wants us to grow closer to him. And I know for a fact, and you probably have experienced it too, we grow closest to him when we're going through a crisis. Now later on in this narrative, as we continue to read, we see this prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, which is actually Isaiah 7:14, talking about the virgin giving birth. And this child will be named Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now, let's move back to the first reading. We're going to see the connection. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as the netherworld or high as the sky. But Ahaz answered, I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord. Then Isaiah said, listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. You see, there's that connection between the Old and the New Testament. This was told to the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to the prophet Isaiah and told him what would happen. The virgin would bear a son and name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God your Father wants to get so close to you that he sent his son to become human while retaining his divinity. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment because he wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to invite you. He wants you to invite him into your life. And that's what this Christmas season should make us all want to do. We should all be trying to look for ways to get Jesus more involved in our lives. We clean up the areas that need cleaning up, the sinful areas where we're selfish, the places where we've kind of locked the door and won't let him in. This is the invitation he's waiting for, and he's going to come. He's good for his word. He is faithful. Just a quick word about the king Ahaz. Ahaz is generally regarded as one of Judah's worst kings. He was a guy who did a lot of bad things. So when he's acting all self-righteous here, saying, I will not tempt the Lord, he didn't want to hear what God had to say. That's why he wasn't going to ask for this sign. The Lord told him to ask for this sign here. And he's saying, oh, no, I don't want to even ask because I don't want to bother God. I think many times we feel the same way. We don't want to hear what God has to say. The Lord's constantly speaking to us, not only through people, through the stillness, our thoughts, that's the word I'm looking for, feelings. You know, we'll be getting this feeling, I should really do this or that. I should reach out to this person. I should do something to get rid of this habitual sin in my life, any number of things. I should give more money to charities. But we brush it off thinking, you know what, but that's not realistic. Well, look at what St. Joseph was up against, but he followed the Lord. You know, if you're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you've got to be willing to follow Christ. And the Bible is filled with many things that Christ said and did. A lot of them are really challenging. Let's start with love your enemy, right? That's really challenging. But if you're going to really be a Christian, we are called. And believe me, I'm guilty of this. I am struggling this, I think, with this. I think one of the things, my greatest realizations this Advent, is that I've got to do a better job loving other people. It's hard for me sometimes. It's easy to love people that are nice, who are good to me, who are cheerful, who are who lift me up, who are positive. But there are some people that, man, they just weigh me down. I'll be totally honest. But I understand that the Lord spoke really clearly to me during this Advent season that I've got to get serious about this. And, you know, he may convict you in any number of different ways, but like St. Joseph, like Ahaz should have really done but didn't do, we see a contrast here. One person listens to God, the other person says, no, I don't really want to hear it. We are called to welcome Jesus more fully into our lives. How does that start? Well, that starts by listening to what he says. He gives us a lot of instructions in the Bible. He wants to walk with us, but he doesn't want us to stay the same. I think that's the challenging thing for us. So with that first reading of the gospel, you see that prophecy, and that prophecy fulfilled in the virgin birth of the Savior named Emmanuel, God with us. And don't forget that. We sometimes think of God as this distant figure, this mysterious figure somewhere in the sky. No. He's as close to us as we are to ourselves. And in fact, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. When we're baptized, we first receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty amazing too. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that guided Jesus, is in you and me. How amazing is that? And we can, if we could just tap into the power of the Spirit, it's going to be a lot easier for us to do those things which we feel we can't do. And by the way, we can't do on our own. I can't love my enemy on my own. I just can't do that. I don't have it in me. But with the Holy Spirit, if I cooperate with the Spirit, it's possible. It's still tough sometimes, but it's a heck of a lot easier. Let's look at the responsorial psalm today, preparing to welcome Jesus at Christmas. Psalm 24, let the Lord enter, the King of glory. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God, his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. And again, that response is, let the Lord enter. He is the King of glory. In other words, let the Lord enter. We've got to do something. We got to open the door. And in these remaining days of the Advent season, we're called to get ready. Get your hand on that doorknob and get ready to open that door and let him in to your life. It is not too late. I don't care if we only got one day. I don't care if we have a few hours left. Let's still work at making this our best Advent of all time. The second reading comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets. In the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his son descended from David according to the flesh, but established as the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, among whom you also are called, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple quick things I want to point out about this reading from St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. We throw around the name Lord quite a bit. Lord, you know, we'll pray, we'll say, Lord, please help me with this, help me with that. Lord, I love you. We'll talk to other people and say, well, the Lord is asking me to do this, the Lord that. The word Lord is translated, if you look at the way the word, well, it's used a couple of different ways in the Old Testament, but when you see it with a capital L and a small O R D, that is translated in Hebrew as Adonai. That means master. So if you're saying that Jesus is Lord of your life, are you really viewing him in the same way Paul does? Paul's saying, I'm a slave of the Lord. Are you a slave of the Lord? A lot of times we're not, because we don't want to listen to him. A slave doesn't negotiate with his master. A slave says, all right, you tell me to do this, I'm going to do it. So let's work on, really, when we use that term Lord, let's really mean it. Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You tell me to do it, just like Joseph. It doesn't have to make sense to me. Of course, we're not asked to do irresponsible things or dangerous things. God doesn't ask you to do that. But a lot of times he asks you to do things that might not make sense according to your way of thinking. But if he's really Lord of my life, am I willing to obey him? And finally, Paul talks about the prophecy of the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament scriptures being fulfilled. We see an example of that today with Jesus Christ descended from David, the Savior of the world, who was promised, who came into the world to live among us, to suffer and die so that you and me could make it to heaven. And that's pretty amazing. Okay, so I'm going to be praying for you as we enter into the Christmas season. God willing, I'll be back next week, but it'll be after Christmas. I want to wish you a merry and blessed Christmas. And again, know that I'm praying for you, and I would ask you to please continue to pray for me and for my family and my ministry. Sometimes it gets a little challenging to be a full-time Catholic evangelist, but with your prayers and the help of the Lord, everything's going to work out okay. Again, if you'd like to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and make a donation, I would be extremely grateful. Followingthetruth.com. Again, have a wonderful Christmas. Remember that the Lord wants to come into your life. He wants to be a part of your life. And as I tell you each week, whatever you do, wherever you go, don't panic. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there. And he wants to be a part of your life. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek saying Merry Christmas. The Lord is coming soon. And I look forward to seeing you next week on the program.
BritBox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.